Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when do we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listener, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to a new episode of Islamic Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio, broadcasted from the holy city of Qum. In this show, we aim to discuss and answer questions on the Islamic principles of child upbringing, which taken from the Quran and the Ahadith. Our main source is the book Child in the Quran and the Sunnah by Atullah Muhammad Yirey Shahri. This book is a book of ahadith of the Holy Prophet and the Holy Progeny regarding different issues in child upbringing. The host of our show is Brother Miqdad, who is a researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Brother Miqdad, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Okay, so in the previous episode, we discussed about some preliminary points regarding upbringing. We mentioned about the goal of tarbiyat, which is Islamic upbringing. We talked about different types of children, that there can be different types of children, and other such issues. And in previous sessions, we also talked about why Islamic upbringing, the role of, for example, research is done in the West and within universities, which are not looking at the Islamic perspectives. And we discussed all this in previous sessions. Now we would like to move from our introductory discussion to these questions. And these questions are mainly to do with a married couple who don't have children yet, but it is still useful for parents, so I think it will be beneficial for everybody to pay attention to these. The first question, which is quite common, is why should we have children in the first place? Why should a couple think about having children? And what can motivate us to have children?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that's an important question, and obviously we can start our whole discussion of child upbringing with this question: is why should we have children? And inshallah, we hope to give about 7 to 8 different reasons taken from the Quran and Hadith to answer this question. And one by one, we'll try and expand on them. The first answer is that the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt themselves have given us instructions and have told us to have children. Number one. And number two, they themselves got married and had children, numerous children sometimes. And just the fact that they have instructed us and they themselves applied these instructions is for us to take this on board and realize that our perfection and reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and servitude cannot be achieved unless following the infallible, the ma'asum, the leaders of the religion. The leaders of our religion are the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. What they say is a hujjah for us, what they say is an instruction, is vital for us, and following them is the path and the sirat al-mustaqim for us to reach perfection and servitude.
So basically, we know that the prophets and his holy progeny are the best of people, and therefore, if they do something, they don't do it for no reason. And so we can assume that they did it for a good reason, and therefore we should do it as well.
Definitely, yeah. And we know in history how many children each one of them had. And also we know from traditions as well, and we're going to read these traditions later on, how they instructed us. For example, they would say, اُطْرُبُ الْوَلَدِ, or they would say, مَا يَمْنَعُ الْمُؤْمِنَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ أَهْلَ, or they would say, لَا تَقُلَنَّ ذَلِكَ, etc., etc. We'll read these hadith later on, where they would firmly and strongly instruct their followers to have children, to have numerous children, to expand the ummah, to expand the number of followers of the Ahlul Bayt.
Okay, just to ask a question regarding this, we know that in history there have been some people who are very close to God but did not have children. Some of them also did not get married. For example, Sayyidah Maryam or Mary did not get married. Jesus himself, Prophet Isa, did not get married. Or we have, for example, a bit later in the Ummah of the Prophet, we have, for example, Sayyidah Fatimatul Ma'suma, who is actually buried in Qum, who did not get married. So why did these people who are so close to God did not actually act on these?
There were special reasons that the history will tell us, and also the hadith will tell us as well, about why these personalities did not get married. But these were exceptions to the rule. The rule still remains that the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have established for us that we should get married, we should have children, numerous children. And we've seen that they did the same thing. And following these leaders is the path towards reaching perfection.
Okay, so the first reason is imitating the Prophet and his holy progeny who have given us instructions and done it themselves. So what is the second reason?
The second reason, and from this second reason onwards, we're going to source these reasons back to an innate desire, an innate need that every human being feels. And this is something that everybody can sense, the need and the love to have children, to have a son or a daughter. It's something that is installed and we've been created with this. And there's different reasons why this has been created. One of them, and we know this is from the hikmat of Allah, this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has installed this love for children within us, love to have children within us. And through this, perfection is achieved both for the parent and also for the child as well. As well as it being a test for the parent through which he can achieve perfection, a test that will grant him the opportunity to make choices that are the positive choices, that are the perfect choices through which he will achieve servitude and closeness to and proximity to Allah.
And we can also see in certain, in actually most parents, that they also take pride in their children when they are successful. So this is also another motivation.
Yes, and we'll come back to this later. Let me explain this more in more detail. Every human being that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created with a potential to reach perfection, which means that it's been created with a potential to receive the great mercy of Allah to its utmost availability for any human being. And this potential is achieved, and the means to achieve this potential is the parent. So a couple who give birth to a child, what they've actually done is they've actually allowed the mercy of Allah to reach a child. They have become the intermediary, thank you, the means by which the mercy of Allah reaches. And this is a great understanding that that parents should realize, that actually this need that Allah has installed is to ensure that the humanity continues, that we have children that continue the human race. Why? Because this human race is the only being that can receive that perfect mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the parent have become the means through which this mercy carries on and this mercy reaches the next progeny. And this is why Allah has installed this love for children in us. Let's go to this book. So the book that we're working on, the Ayatollah Rishad's book, if you look at Hadith 26 on page number 33, Hadith 26, 27, 28, all these hadith talk about this important concept that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, will actually boast, obviously not in the negative sense of the word, will actually be proud of his ummah being abandoned. We find, for example, the Prophet gives an instruction. So the Holy Prophet, for example, says, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ وَالْوَلُودَ, marry those women who are kind, as well as those women who give birth, who are fertile, who are going to give birth to a lot of children. Why? فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, because I will be proud and I will count the number of my ummah, the quantity of my ummah on the Day of Judgment. What is this? And this Hadith 26 and 28 are on the same notion. What is this trying to say? This is trying to say that the Holy Prophet is the one who has achieved the ultimate perfection possible. If you put every single human being out there and pick one person who has achieved the closest proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Holy Prophet. And through him has come a religion that is called Islam, and it is the religion that is a path to achieve that utmost perfection. So the Prophet is trying to say that because my ummah increases, that means what? That people who follow Islam increases, that means what? That means that people who achieve more perfection increases. That means those who receive Allah's perfection are greater in number. Why? Because parents had more children.
So the Prophet wants as many people as possible to be able to benefit from Allah's mercy. And so the more children we have, the more people we can give the Islamic tarbiyah to, and therefore more people are guided, go to paradise, receive the greatest mercies of Allah.
Exactly. And this is the one of the reasons why Allah has put this love of children in us, this love of having children in us, so that we can be the intermediary to this mercy to reach our children and the next generation.
Okay, but we know of many ahadith, or actually even the Quran, talking about the love of children being negative. And it's loving children and, for example, loving wealth have both been put together as being a negative love. So how do we put these two things together?
That's a good point that you made there. And this is something we're going to talk about later on the show, in the next few shows, inshallah. About this notion of loving children being a negative thing. But just a very quick answer here. This verse that talk about the children being negative, it's actually, if you look at the words that is used, is fitna, is a test. And we talked about this. Love for children is also a test, in the sense that perfection is achieved. We talked about this in the first show, in the second show, that perfection is achieved through choice. If man makes a choice and decides to take the path that is correct over the path that is wrong, through this choice he can reach perfection. This is why animals or objects don't reach perfection. Why? They're ultimate perfection, obviously. Because they don't choose. It's man, human being that chooses. For choice, you need evil path to be there. You need a test to happen. If there's no test, there's no choice, there's no perfection. So this love for children is actually a test, in a sense that through this test, through children, parents choose the path that is correct over the path that is wrong, and through that they reach perfection. So when Allah talks about fitna in the Quran and attributes this fitna to children and wealth and everything, it's not condemning the children, it's not condemning wealth. It's condemning the path that we take, and it's telling the people that these are tests for you. So be careful.
How are children a test for parents?
So as I said, this is something we're going to talk about in the later shows, inshallah. Let me carry on this point that we were talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing the love of children in us. One of the reasons is so that because we want to become the intermediary of Allah's mercy reaching everybody. If you look at another hadith on the same page, hadith number 30, when Imam Sadiq says that when Yusuf met his brothers, he told him, "Oh brother, how could you marry another woman after losing me?" He said that my father, whose Prophet Yaqub, commanded me, saying, "If you are able and istata'ata an takuna laka dhurriyatun tuthqilu al-ardha bitasbihi faf'al." If you are able to have children who will add value, who will bring weight to this earth, through what? Through tasbih. What does this mean? And so do so, have more children. Again, it's alluded to the same point. Tasbih obviously means to glorify Allah, and this is glorification is an allusion to reaching servitude and perfection. So Yaqub is commanding his son to have children. Why? So that the earth becomes full of people who have achieved perfection. In other words, you become an intermediary for Allah's mercy to reach your children. Hadith number one of this book, is again in the same topic, and alludes to the same point. This is from the Holy Prophet, who says, "ما يمنع المؤمن أن يتخذ أهلا." And this is what we talked about, the Prophet instructing people to have children. So what prevents a mu'min, a believer, from having a family? لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَرُزُقَهُ نَسَمَةً تُثْقِلُ الْأَرْضَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. If they have children, then it's possible that through this, Allah will grant, will bring value to the earth. By what? By this saying of La ilaha illallah. In this hadith we have La ilaha illallah. In the previous hadith of Yaqub we had Tasbih, we had Subhanallah. Both are just alluding to this concept that children who are raised in an Islamic environment, who are raised by parents who ensure that a good upbringing happens, the children achieve perfection and servitude, and the mercy of Allah is manifested in them. And the intermediary for this was the parent. And this is why we have this love of children installed within all human beings.
Okay, so we've mentioned so far two points about why we should be having children. Point number one was that the prophets and his holy progeny, basically the best of humankind, had children and actually instructed us to have children, and therefore there must be something good in it, and therefore we should do that. That was point number one. And point number two is that by having children, we are becoming intermediary of Allah's mercy, that Allah's mercy reaches another human being. So we bring a human being into this world so that they can get Allah's mercy. And we are basically the middleman in this. And therefore this is quite important. So before we continue on this discussion, let's take a short break. So dear listener, please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. Listener, welcome back to A Child Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio. We are with Brother Miqdad, who is answering our questions. We were talking about the reasons for having children, and we mentioned two points. We said that it is important to have children. Point number two was that we are intermediary between the mercy of Allah and another human being. So is there anything to add to this point?
No, I think that, I hope I made it clear to the listeners. That this reason is that we follow this innate desire and this innate need that Allah has installed us. This is something that's within us, and we should listen to this need that we have within us, which is a positive need and a positive love that Allah has installed through His wisdom to ensure that the mercy reaches the next generation.
So just to make a point which comes to mind is that we keep talking about, for example, the glorification of Allah being spread on earth, the words of La ilaha illallah being spread on earth, basically Muslim, an increase in the population of Muslims, which is a good thing. But why is it a good thing? It is because Islam takes us towards perfection, towards being the best of people. We are not talking about an Islam that is extreme. We are not talking about an Islam that is only just these outward actions. We're talking about the real Islam, which is a religion that takes us to perfection, that takes us to that makes the best of communities, and makes the best of human beings. So this is a very important thing to keep in mind, especially looking at the world right now and how Islam is viewed. It is important to realize the real Islam and differentiate it to the false Islam that is being portrayed outside. Okay, so moving on, let's go to the third point of why couples should want to have children and why they should be motivated in having children or even having more children.
So yes, so the third motivation is not being alone. The human being is, again, as we said, all these reasons go back to innate needs, and from within ourselves we have these needs and this desire for this. One of them is this desire to not be alone. Human being is a social creature and has been created in such a way that he doesn't like to be alone. We find this also in the Holy Quran. If you open the Holy Quran on chapter number 21, verse number 89, we find this this section on Zakaria, who is a prophet, and he, up to a very old age, he doesn't have any children. So he seeks from Allah to have children at that age, and Allah accepts his dua, and he has children after that. One of his du'as that is mentioned in the Holy Quran is this, in this verse 89 of Surah 21, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Zakaria, when he prayed, when he called out to his Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, Rabbi, لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَ, don't leave me alone, don't let me be alone, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, and you are the best of inheritors. So we find that even Zakaria as a prophet is asking for this concept of not being alone. Couples, people generally want to have children. One of the reasons is so that they're not alone. If you look at the hadith as well, for instance, hadith number 5, for instance, hadith number 14 on page 27, the fourth holy imam says, مِنْ سَعَادَةِ الرَّجُلِ, from amongst the things that are considered as sa'ada, are considered a source of happiness or prosperity for a person, أن يكون له ولد يستعين بهم, is that he has a child that assists him. In other words, a child that is there with him, a child that is a support for him, that he's not alone in his work. And perhaps even hadith number 5 can be seen to allude to this point when the Prophet says, "Utlubul walad wal tamisuhu fa innahu qurratul ayn wa rihanatul qalb." Through this child, you seek pleasure, you find inner prosperity, inner tranquility. It's saying that because you're not going to be alone. It could be interpreted as that. That one of the best company that a couple can have is having children, especially as they grow up. The child becomes a teenager and the child becomes a young adult. Parents realize these hadith and these verses that talk about this very important point, that they don't feel alone anymore. They have company around them. They have their children as support, as a family for them. And this is an innate desire, innate need that human being is created with, and one that should be followed.
Especially knowing that the parents then grow older and they have a company of younger people that makes them feel good. Because their children are young and they are close to them, they feel safe with them, they feel comfort with them and tranquil.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the next point.
So the fourth reason and the fourth motivation is something we just talked about, is tranquility. Human being, again, innately from within himself, he feels the need to have this peace of mind, this innate tranquility. And you find that many people who become very materialistic, the famous Hollywood actors and everything, they usually reach to a point where, as you know, materialism is not something that can always be that can never satisfy you. Materialism is, according to hadith, it's a salty water that the more you drink, the more you get thirsty. It's not something that brings tranquility within the heart, and that's why you find many people who are so much engrossed in materialism, they bounce back from it and go into this yoga and these different spiritual trainings that help them to find this tranquility. But at the end, they never reach it. Anyhow, one of the ways to reach this tranquility, one of the sources of tranquility, is children. So the hadith that we just read, the hadith number 5 from the Holy Prophet, فَإِنَّهُ قُرَّةُ الْعَيْنِ. قُرَّةُ الْعَيْنِ, the apple of my eye, as we call it in English, the expression goes, is exactly that. It's the tranquility that one finds when he sees his child. You can ask any parent sometime when the child does something really nice or smiles at them. They just look at the child and they just feel this tranquility. This is something that Allah talks about in hadith. And this is one of the motivations for a couple to have children. وَرَيْحَانَةُ الْقَلْبِ, and it's a happiness, it's a good smell, it's a pleasurable smell that gives this tranquility within for couples, for people.
And we can see this even with other children, especially when they're young. this innocent child is always a source of pleasure for anybody. Everybody enjoys watching children. Everybody takes comfort and, you know, feels happy when they see other people's children. So what about having your own child and, you know, him being with you all the time? And it's definitely a different feeling.
Definitely, that's a very good point. Because it's something that's innate, it's created in every human being. It's not only related to your own child. Every person is created with this need and this desire. So he sees that in other children as well. If you look at hadith number 9, again, number 9, number 10, number 11, all these hadiths, they talk about the same concept. Rihul walad min rihul jannah. The scent of a child is a breeze or a scent or a smell from paradise. Paradise is what? Paradise is the place where there's only happiness and joy. Paradise is the place where there's only contentment and inner tranquility. And so smelling a child or looking at a child brings this tranquility and this peace of mind. What's interesting as well is that this peace of mind and tranquility is not only reserved for this world. This is very interesting. If you turn to page 31, hadith number 24, the sixth holy imam, when he's talking about this verse of the Holy Quran, which says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, the imam says the deeds of the offsprings are less than that of their father, so the offspring will join their fathers to comfort them. لِتَقَرَّ بِذَلِكَ عَيُنُهُمْ. It's the same words that is used. تَقَرُّ عَيْنًا, which is to the apple of my eye, is exactly the same thing. But here the imam is talking on the day of judgment. So on the day of judgment, these parents again will have this tranquility because of their children. So both in this world and in the hereafter.
Thank you very much. So we have had 4 points about the reasons why couples should want to have children and why parents should want to have even more children. So we said point number one was that we're following the instructions of the prophets and holy progeny. Point number two, we said that we're an intermediary of Allah's mercy, going from Allah to His creation. Point number three, we said that having children is a way to not be alone in this world. Children are a very good company for us, especially in our old age. And this leads to point number four, which is that children bring tranquility to our hearts when they're at a young age and also when they're at an older age. So we will stop here and we'll continue with the next 4 points, inshallah, in the next episode. So Brother Migdal, thank you very much for being with us in this show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And thank you very much, dear listener, for listening to our program. I'd like to remind you that we welcome any questions or comments. So if you have any, please do write to us on coi@irib.ir and we'll be very happy to answer you. Thank you very much for being with us. Please join us again in our next episode. This is A Child Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life. A complete way, it's a complete way.